This afternoon we take our Bibles and we read together from the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 145. We read this in connection with the command of the Lord Jesus Christ that we pray, "Hallowed be your name." Psalm 145, a song of praise of David. "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever." Now we go to the Gospel as it is recorded by Luke. Luke 1, we read the song of Mary. Luke 1, verse 46, "And Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever.'" So far the reading of God's holy word. This afternoon I preach to you the Gospel as we confess it in Lord's Day 47 of the Catechism. Lord's Day 47, page 561 of our Book of Praise. What is the first petition? "Hallowed be your name." That is, grant us, first of all, that we may rightly know you, and sanctify, glorify, and praise you in all your works, in which shine forth your almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. Grant us also that we may so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that your name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honoured and praised. We now listen to the preaching of the gospel and sing afterwards Psalm 145, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, many Roman Catholics and Anglicans are deeply dissatisfied with their church. And this became a public issue some years ago when a Canadian woman was planning to get married. Her wedding was arranged in her hometown in the Roman Catholic Church. But then the priest who was supposed to do the wedding discovered that the woman was working for Planned Parenthood, an organisation that promotes and endorses abortion. And because the Roman Catholic Church says no to abortion, the priest refused to marry her. So then, in the newspapers and on talkback radio, many Roman Catholics expressed outrage. Those Roman Catholics, they argue that our society is changing. Society is adopting different standards, new morals. But the church is stuck in a rut. The church does not adapt. That means many people are drifting further and further away from the church. So, what the church has to do now, these people suggested, what the church has to do to win back those people who have left the church, now the church must embrace the values of our community. The church must accept easy divorce, abortion, gay marriage. These are facts of life. And if the church would adapt, then people might start to come back to church again. But as long as the church is over here, while popular opinion is over there, the exodus out of the church will continue. Understand the argument? This argument says that the church should be as much as possible like the world. This argument says the more that the church has in common with the world, the better the church can reach out to the world. And possibly this argument might be valid. It might be true that if we have more in common with people, we can influence them better. Perhaps that's true. But even if that is true, the Son of God taught us to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means holy. Hallowed means different, set apart. Those dissatisfied Roman Catholics, they argue the world is here, and so we have to bring the church, we must bring God over to the world. Those Roman Catholics argue the church must be as much as possible like the world. But the Bible says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Not make God like us, but confess that God is holy and then be his children, become like him. I preach to you the gospel of your salvation under the following theme. Pray that the name of God may always be holy. And that means to pray that we may confess God's holiness and pray that we may increase God's holiness. Pray that the name of God may always be holy. And that means in the first place, we should pray that we may confess God's holiness. Now, according to the Catechism, the first part of the answer, hallowed be your name means first grant that we may rightly know God. Rightly know God. And we understand that there are different ways of knowing. For example, if you tell me your address, I can know that you live either in Greendale or in Yarrow or in Sardis, just from your address. I know where you live. But then if I still need my GPS to find your house, obviously I don't really know where you live. Knowing your address and knowing the way to your house are two different ways of knowing where you live. And when we talk about knowing a person, imagine that you get a new teacher at school. The teacher tells you his name, so you know who he is. But a week later, you talk in class and you get a detention. You start to know him. Your assignment, which is due on Tuesday, you hand in on Thursday and you lose marks. You know him better. Clearly, before, you knew his name. You knew him in a way, but you did not really know him. And in the same way, knowing God, it's possible to know our Bible. It is possible to know every Lord's Day in the Catechism, in Dutch and in English, without knowing God. Just like if you really know your teacher, then you know what it takes to stay out of trouble. If you know God, that means you know how you ought to live to receive his blessing. To know God means to know what it takes to be his child. The Apostle John puts it this way: if we know God, we have eternal life. John says this because everybody who truly knows God takes God seriously. Everybody who truly knows God tries to think and to speak and to act in such a way that God is pleased. Anybody who thinks that pleasing God is not so important, that person does not know God. And so we pray the first petition, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means, grant that we might rightly know you. It means, Father in heaven, many people in this country, they celebrate Christmas and Easter every year. They know Bible stories, but they don't know you, God. It's obvious from the way they live. And in this congregation, our young people come to the catechism classroom every week and they learn the catechism. Now, catechism students, think about this for a moment. When I tell you that I'm not happy about the way you learn your catechism, you do something about it. You learn it better. Why? Because you know me. Obviously, you don't want to get in trouble with me, and I appreciate that. But do you know God? If you know God, then surely you must think about what God reckons about the way you learn your catechism. If you know God, then surely you think about what God reckons about the way you live your life. If we don't care about what God thinks, obviously we don't know God. If a person was thirsty and he drank a gallon of poison, we'd say he doesn't know it's poison. If a person plays with electricity, Obviously, he doesn't know the power of electricity. And if we rightly know God, then our careers and our holidays are not our highest priority. If we know God, then our material possessions are not most important in our lives. If we know God, then we live for God's blessing. Rightly knowing God, that means taking seriously God's words of promise and God's words of warning. That's why we pray, Father in heaven, our hearts are corrupt, so that we make excuses for our sins and we don't take the need for repentance seriously enough. But we believe, Father in heaven, we earnestly believe that you are holy and that you hate sin. And so we pray, hallowed be your name, because that means, first, grant that we may know the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of your love. Father in heaven, grant that we may be overwhelmed by the gospel of your grace towards us, and grant that we may be convinced that being your children and doing your will is the only recipe for a life that will be perfectly and eternally happy. Grant that we may believe that obedience always leads to blessing, while everything else will always disappoint us. Father in heaven, grant that we may always accept wholeheartedly the instruction and the discipline of your word, because that's what we would do if we knew you. Rightly knowing God, brothers and sisters, that means really knowing what God has done, knowing what God promises, knowing what God requires. And then the catechism goes on. It says, apart from rightly knowing God, we should also sanctify, glorify, and praise God. So we should praise God. Praise God in all his works, in which shine forth his almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. What the Catechism says here is a statement of faith, a statement about the world. The Catechism says God has a number of qualities. God is powerful. God is wise. God is good. God is righteous. God is mercy. God is truth. These are God's qualities, says the Catechism. And now, this is where it becomes interesting. In all of God's works, in everything that happens in this world, all of these qualities of God are shining forth. All these qualities of God are clearly visible. To understand what this means, imagine an art gallery. You walk into an art gallery and you see lots of pictures. You see a landscape. You see a portrait. You see a photograph. All these pictures are totally different. One looks beautiful. Another one looks impressive. A third one looks cute. But a fourth picture you really don't like at all. It's ugly. And then you check the catalogue. You discover that all those works of art, they all come from the same artist. To your eye, those pictures all look different. To your eye, there is no visible connection or similarity between those pictures. In fact, some of them seem to clash. Some are brilliant, but others are dull. Some of them have got fine lines and neat shapes, but others seem to have been made by a two-year-old child who has never before touched a pencil crayon. But now the catalogue in that art gallery that tells you that they all come from the same artist. Get the picture? Now the Catechism teaches us, beloved congregation, the Catechism teaches us that the world is such an art gallery. The world is God's art gallery. And every event that happens in this world is a piece of art. Everything that happens in the world is a piece of art. And God is the artist who made them all happen. An earthquake in China, an airplane accident in South America, a terrorist plot in Paris, a Stanley Cup final, an interview with the Prime Minister of Canada. Every event is a work of God. Every event is an exhibit in God's art gallery. In all God's works, says the Catechism. And this is a mind-boggling statement. In all God's works, His almighty power shines forth. His wisdom shines forth. His goodness shines forth. His righteousness, His mercy, and His truth, they all shine forth. In everything that happens, all of God's qualities are shining forth. In everything that happens on the mission field in Brazil, in everything that happens inside the parliament buildings of this country, in persecution in China, in the social changes that are sweeping across Canada and so many other post-Christian nations, God's power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth are shining forth. And now, we go one step further. Now we need to understand what is the purpose of an art gallery. Why does somebody build an art gallery? Why does somebody display paintings? Is it not so that other people might view those works of art, admire those works of art, and praise the artist? Is the purpose of building an art gallery not that people might walk through and view all the exhibits and say, "Wow, how excellent!" This is the reason why God created us, beloved congregation. God created us to glorify Him, to look at His world, and to say, "Wow, Father in heaven, how excellent!" God created us not to change the world, not to make the world what we think it ought to be, but God created us first to be spectators, to be guests, visiting His art gallery, so that we might glorify, sanctify, and praise Him in all His works, so that we might be impressed by what He does, and we might say, "Wow, what an awesome God we have." And so we understand, when we read the newspapers, when we watch the news on the television, then we are standing in God's art gallery. And in all of those news reports, God's qualities are shining forth. And it is our calling to respond, to sanctify and glorify and praise God in all His works. Sanctify, glorify, and praise God by saying, "Wow." And so we must pray, "Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name." And that does not mean, "Father, change the world." That does not mean, "Father, change these exhibits because we don't like what we see and we want to see something different instead in Your art gallery." Instead, all of God's wonderful qualities are shining forth in all His works. And so we pray, "Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name." That means, "Father, change me." That means, "Father, open my eyes. Open my heart, Father. Give me faith so that even when I can only see sin and godlessness. Even when I am disappointed because things are not what they should be according to your commandment, grant that I may still respond to your awesome display by sanctifying, glorifying, and praising you, Father in heaven, because you created us for your glory. You created us to be spectators in your art gallery, to sanctify, glorify, and praise your name in all your works. That's our first point. In our second point, we will now see that praying, hallowed be your name, also means praying that we may increase God's holiness. Again, the Catechism says we need to believe that all God's qualities are shining forth in all God's works. And when we see it, we also need to respond to God's qualities which are on display. Respond by sanctifying, glorifying, and praising God. And then the Catechism goes on to say that we also need to think about our neighbours, also our unbelieving neighbours. We need to ask ourselves what we know about God. How does that affect our neighbours, our thoughts, our words, and our actions? How do they affect our neighbours? Obviously, says the Catechism, our thoughts, words, and actions should never cause our neighbours to blaspheme. Instead, we should so direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, so that also our unbelieving neighbours should never blaspheme because of us, but always honour and praise God because of us. Brothers and sisters, the Catechism makes a connection between us sanctifying, glorifying, and praising God. That's one thing. That's connected to our neighbours honouring and praising God. We can understand that if we go back to the art gallery. Again, the world is an art gallery. God is the artist. And we can talk about that to our neighbours. We can tell our neighbours what we believe about Jesus. We can invite them to come to church. We can also go into the mountains, view spectacular scenes, and then we can also tell our unbelieving neighbours how awesome is the God who created that all. We tell our neighbours on everything that happens in this world, we can see an autograph. We can see God's signature, his power and wisdom. Goodness and righteousness, mercy and truth are shining forth. We can see it. We tell our neighbours. But according to the Catechism, brothers and sisters, we can do more for our neighbours than talk to them about this art gallery which displays God's marvellous qualities. We can talk about it, and we should talk about it, but in Genesis 1, when God actually created this marvellous art gallery, what was the crown? What was the supreme jewel of God's creation? Was it not Adam and Eve? Man and woman created in the image of God? God's prime exhibit in his art gallery was a man, a woman created in the image of God. And for this reason, when we pray, hallowed be your name, and when we confess that all of creation is an art gallery, and every exhibit displays God's qualities, that art gallery includes you and me. We are ourselves exhibits, all of us displaying God's wonderful qualities. And we all know that this is sort of true. We all talk about every time a baby is born, then we stand in awe. We are amazed at the perfection of God's design, the glory of his creative genius. Another little baby that has eyes that see and ears that hear. Another child with a heart that beats and a brain that never stops. Wow! Glory to God. That means on the day on which you were born, then your heavenly Father moved you into his glorious art gallery. Every single one of us is a work of art, a very special, a unique work of art. And if God wants the world to look at the mountains and the rivers, the flowers and the birds, if God wants the world to see his creative genius shine forth in all of these wonderful things, God also wants the world to look at you and to look at me and to discover in us God's creative genius. God wants the world to look at you, my brother, my sister, and to see in your life a display of his almighty power and wisdom, a display of his goodness and righteousness and mercy and truth. And God wants them to respond to what they see in your life by giving him honor and praise. This is why Jesus taught us to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means, Father, we are your children. We know you. We understand that you created us to live for your glory, to sanctify, glorify, and praise your name. But Father, there are so many people in the world, even in Yarrow, who do not know you. Father, you also created those people for your glory. You also created them to sanctify, glorify, and praise your name. Now use us, Father. Use us. Grant that we may direct our whole lives, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Grant that we may direct them in such a way that all these people in Yarrow may all honour and praise you. We are exhibits in your art gallery. Use us to make the nations see. And then, beloved congregation, one more step. The world is an art gallery displaying God's awesome qualities. We Christians, we are in the first place spectators, but we're also exhibits in God's art gallery, so that God works through us to draw the attention of the world to his awesome qualities. Then, obviously, we cannot be satisfied when our unbelieving neighbours can see God's awesome qualities in us. We cannot be satisfied when our unbelieving neighbours can see God's awesome qualities. Instead, did God not create all people for his glory? Is not every single person on this planet an exhibit in God's art gallery? Does not every person living on this planet have the calling, the duty to display in their life the awesome qualities of God? I need to mention this, brothers and sisters, because every Sunday we come to church and we worship you. We worship God. Most Monday evenings we have meetings in this church building. On Tuesday evenings we have catechism classes. On Thursday evenings and Sunday evenings we have Bible study meetings. This church building is used most evenings of the week. And now, if you would ask our catechism students, they will tell you that on many evenings we have young people, locals, hanging around on the little veranda outside the back door of the meeting room. These people from our community living in Yarrow, They sit there, they listen to music, they play on their phones and they hang around. We would say a meaningless existence, an empty life. If I ask them what they are doing or why they are hanging around here, they tell me that they have got nothing else to do. They've been invited to come to church, but they have declined politely. And then I think of Lord's Day 47, where Jesus teaches us to pray, Father in heaven, grant that we may so direct our whole life that your name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honoured and praised. Grant that we may direct our lives in such a way that your name is honoured and praised. Okay, we might reason. We come to church every Sunday. Perhaps we don't interact with those people beyond perhaps sending them away or urging them to clean up the garbage. If we do that, we are not causing them to blaspheme. But neither are we doing anything that would cause them to praise God. And for this reason, beloved congregation, we need to understand as well that praying and working belong together. Praying and working belong together. If we pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And if we confess that prayer means that we want God's name to be honoured and praised, then we need to ask ourselves seriously, how are we working? What are we doing with our life, with our thoughts, our words and our actions? And please make no mistake, I would never urge a mum or a dad to abandon their family to entertain some bored teenagers in Yarrow. But if we are spending our evenings playing computer games or watching movies or hanging out, that is not consistent with the prayer that the name of God may be honoured and praised because of us. Especially if we have people living in our neighbourhood who do not know God and who do not sanctify, glorify and praise the name of God. And especially if we have never done anything to reach out to those people and to show those people how the qualities of God, his almighty power and wisdom, goodness and righteousness, mercy and truth are shining forth in all God's works. Jesus taught us to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That means, Father, you made us for a reason, and that was to glorify your name. The world that you created is this art gallery, and it is our duty, yes, it is our duty, to notice how you are displaying your qualities in this art gallery. It is our duty to notice and then to praise you for all your awesome qualities. So open our eyes, open our hearts, that we may see your works and praise you for your works. Even more, Father, teach us to know ourselves, to be exhibits in your art gallery. Because when you want to display your power and wisdom, goodness and righteousness, mercy and truth in all your works include us. We are the works of your hands. So it is our calling, our Christian calling, to reveal your greatness in all our thoughts, all our words, and all our actions. And teach us, Father, to direct our whole lives, our thoughts, words, and actions, that our neighbours can also come to know you, can also come to honour you and praise you. Father in heaven, you have made us for your glory. You have sent your Son into the world and to the cross for your glory. Now, Father, glorify your name in our lives and in the lives of all our neighbours as well. Amen.